producing over 500 hours per week of talk radio. GCN Live is a world leader in talk radio. Archives for the following program can be found at GCNLive.com.
Day 25 of mayhem and chaos at the border. What else is new? Kate Delaney, as always, the skipper of this ship on all sides of the border. How are you doing in those nooks and crannies? Plus, we have some news about North Korea and missiles and some World Cup news, too, as well, since many of you have caught the fever. If you did, then you saw really a boring game, maybe, if you snuck out to go and watch it late in the afternoon, depending on where you live. And sad news on some storms. Let's start with Mother Nature. I just got a note from Joe, living in Illinois, who said, Kate, boy, you are so right about the deadliness of Mother Nature, and you never know what you're going to be dealt on that river card, so to speak. It wasn't Illinois, though, where the problem was. It was at a camp, a church camp near Manchester, Maryland, and there was a whole bunch of severe weather, you know, lightning strikes, all that kind of stuff. Four people are dead as a result. 500,000 people don't have power. They're working on it. They're starting to catch up to that. But the storm was like those line of storms that come through where trees are falling down, and power lines are naturally ripped to the ground as well. What happened in the case of a couple of the people dying, one boy, in fact, and eight other kids injured, and what happened there is that church camp that I mentioned, a tree fell on nine campers. One was trapped under the tree, and the other had minor injuries. In New York, three people died because of collapsed buildings in Syracuse. I mean, how often do you hear that? Just the wind whipped into these crazy sideways torrential rain. And you had that thing again where the trees were literally uprooted or just snapped at the trunk. And it didn't stop there. In Pennsylvania, 250,000 people without electricity. They're still working on that. In New York, much less, just a little over 100,000 people without power. But if you're one of the people named in that statistic, it's not great when you're running around without power, because we know what happens. We talk about emergency preparedness all the time on America Tonight. I've admitted, how many times have I gotten caught in the situation where I said, I'm going to do it, I'm going to have a go bag, I'm going to have lights, I'm going to have backup generator, I'm going to have all that stuff ready. And finally, I can honestly say that I do have that, including water. But I didn't start off that way. I started off talking about it, and finally realized I've lived in so many different places, where many of those places where I mentioned, where that kind of stuff can happen at a moment's notice. So that's what Mother Nature dealt out today, unfortunately, to some people who weren't so lucky, mostly because of the winds pulling trees out at their roots, and unfortunately, sadly, the tree falling down on all of those campers. I mentioned right at the top that here we go again. It's all border talk all the time, and of course it is, because it's very disturbing what's happening with the children, and then any other nefarious types, as I like to call them, would-be terrorists who are trying to get in through a porous border. So you have the governor of Texas, Rick Perry, who frankly, I wouldn't agree with a lot of things that Rick Perry has to say often. I can't say I don't agree with anything he says, but I definitely agree with the fact that he really pushed to say, listen, Washington, you've got Obama coming down here to raise money, and he's not going to take a trip to the border. So they've decided, the White House, to take up Perry's invitation for a meeting on what's happening during the trip to Texas. How about that? Valerie Jarrett, the senior scribe, said that the letter that they sent was in response to Perry's letter to the president. They released it, and it turned down an offer to greet the president on the tarmac when he came to Austin. But instead, they said, let's have a more substantial meeting to discuss the critical issue. So he did say, I'm inviting him to join me. Let's have a meeting. Let's do this. Let's discuss this with the people in Dallas on Wednesday. And so that's what's gonna take place. The governor said he's happy. He's happy that he wants to talk about this national security crisis along the southern border. And see, originally, there was a meeting scheduled with faith leaders, apparently, in Big D, and that may still take place, but that's kind of what the White House is saying was the reason that they weren't really paying attention to what Rick Perry was saying, but now that's all off the table, and so they say it doesn't matter anymore because they're going to talk about temporary housing facilities and some of the other things, and that's one of the things that the Prez is talking about. What are they going to do to convert maybe local schools into these housing spots for some of these minors and some of the other undocumented immigrants who came through the border in the last couple of months? And here, that's the scary part to me. Who are the other undocumented immigrants who are coming through? And in the letter, by the way, from the White House, to keep you up to date, they asked the governor for his help in convincing Republicans, how about that, in Congress to approve the president's request for the two bill in federal money to add more agents because they need more Border Patrol agents and immigration judges because they're trying to hurry up and process and deport as fast as they can, as well as some of these places to house all these illegal immigrants that we're talking about, the ones that have been detained. So they're saying tit for tat, okay, you want a favor from us, absolutely, we'll meet with you, but we want you to do this in return. Because remember, Perry was part of the Republican brigade that blasted the president this whole weekend about not stopping along the border while he's in Texas. By the way, they also threw this in. The White House says they're working with people in Guatemala, El Salvador, and Honduras. That's where this spigot, this flow of migrants is heading north, and it's overwhelmed us to the point where in the United States we can't even find places to house all the people that are coming in. So like I said, here we go again, more of the crisis at the border. This is the buzz in the backyard. Whether you live along the border, whether you live in a border state or not, everybody has an opinion, and by the way, everybody's paying for this. As we, of course, know, naturally, that's taxpayer money that goes toward all of the money that's being requested. But at this point, you've got to figure out a way to turn this crisis around as fast as you can. You've got to process. Got to process these kids. Got to process these people. Certainly, this limbo is not doing anyone any good, and it's costing us more money anyway, because who's paying for the meals and the clothes and all that sort of stuff? So it's in our best interest to really seize the opportunity to figure out a way to flip the cards over faster. We're jumping to the other side. I hope you jump with us, too. I'll meet you in 2 and 3. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Making the right decisions is a challenge to investors. Are we going to see economic growth, slide into a recession, or at worst, depression? Hi, Ted Anderson from Midas Resources. We all know when a company acts irresponsibly, divesting ourselves in a move towards safety is prudent. When the market becomes volatile, U.S. treasuries are a safe haven. But what do you do when the U.S. government overextends itself and spends beyond its means? Many investors are turning toward gold as a common sense alternative to traditional paper investments. Midas Resources has put together a powerful book titled 10 Reasons to Own Gold, discussing costs, benefits, risks, featuring full color illustrations, weights, and measures. The book is free and can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. Paper investments are dwarfed by gold's 6,000-year history. Discover how gold may be right for you and your IRA by calling 800-686-2237. Whether buying or it's time for you to sell, the book is free. Call 800-686-2237.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today. Day complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Welcome to America Tonight. Each and every show, we kick it around with our pals from Talk Radio News. None better than our pal Luke Vargas, who's like, where's Waldo? All over the world he is. I think we found him. Covering the UN, of course, as he always is, in New York City. Hey, Luke, how are you?
I'm great, thanks. How's it going?
Good. Of course, we're all captivated by what's happening in the semifinals here in World Cup action. I think, as I said to someone earlier in the day, there's no doubt that soccer has caught on, well beyond caught on, I think, in the U.S. What do you think?
Well, there's no better place to see that than here at the United Nations. And I guess this isn't exactly a representative sample of Americans, but there is a room downstairs, a little lounge. And every day since the World Cup began, there have been two big TVs in that room. And, you know, these matches start, or at least in the first few rounds, started at noon. So you would see hundreds of staff in their suits, people, you know, putting jerseys over their suits and going down there to watch these two-hour matches. They've had drink specials. This sort of phenomenon has been written up by Bloomberg and a few other people, which found it to be newsworthy, I guess, beyond the UN headquarters. Just sort of, this is what international diplomats do when they're absolutely obsessed with sports. So I've been feeling the World Cup fever here, and I wish it weren't ending so quickly.
I know, I agree with that. All right, let's jump to what's going on with the Ukrainian army. A huge win for them. Tell us what we should think will happen or could happen next anyway.
Well, this is interesting. So, you know, I've been covering the Ukraine, obviously, since late last year. Then went to Kiev with Zach Badorf, and we called in from there a few times, I think. And then, you know, we had the obviously the Crimean annexation. And then there was a pretty well-publicized takeover of a lot of eastern Ukrainian cities about 3 months ago by pro-Russian separatists. And I have to admit, and I've apologized to a lot of the experts I've spoken to over the last 48 hours, that I hadn't contacted them in a long time because things sort of seem to stay the same for a long time. You know, the dynamics seem pretty static. We knew these Russian separatists were very well armed. People then talked about how easily the Ukrainian army was overrun in Crimea, and we sort of just accepted this narrative that they were, had very low morale, they had terrible equipment and no training, and thus it was going to be near impossible for them to dislodge any of these Russian separatists unless, for example, Vladimir Putin just out of the kindness of his own heart decided, I'm going to give up on this sort of disruption project in eastern Ukraine. And what we've seen over the past few weeks has been a real shift in strategy from the government in Kiev. You have the newly elected president there, Petro Poroshenko, who's basically given his armed forces the authorization to do whatever the heck it takes to make some progress. And that differs pretty markedly from what he was saying in the beginning, which was, you know, we don't want to encourage any sort of paramilitary forces from getting involved in the fight. We want to try to contain violence. If you remember, there were even a few ceasefires a few weeks ago. It didn't really do anything on the battlefield. It didn't stop the fighting. But they were pretty instrumental in showing to the U.S., maybe just, you know, more symbolic than anything, saying, look, you know, I'm trying to seek peace here. And then when a bunch of Ukrainians' military personnel were killed, I think a number of them shot down out of aircraft by these Russian separatists, Ukraine gained sort of a lot of international recognition. The U.S. started sending them more assistance, so did the European Union. And then over the past few weeks, they've been sieging with pretty much 24/7 artillery shelling this little city of Slovyansk, and it finally fell over the weekend. This is a pretty big deal. The Russian separatists pulled out. In their wake, the Ukrainian military found huge stockpiles of heavy weapons. And more than anything, it sort of demoralized these separatists. The real firepower that the Ukrainian military can draw upon has been laid bare. So I think the dynamics are sort of shifting as we move towards some big cities that now need to be reconquered. Obviously, that's a more intense task. You can't necessarily just shell indiscriminately a city of a million people in the same way you could a smaller town. But at the same time, I think there is an infusion of sort of morale and excitement. And you have sort of a formerly peacetime army starting to get some generals and people promoted through the ranks who actually have battle experience. It's not just a stale old bunch of military leaders who've never seen a fight before. So I think the dynamics in Ukraine after all these months finally starting to shift.
Yeah, how about that? That is huge, 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 huge story. And because of what's happening, I think, across our country in the nooks and crannies, our focus is in a couple of other places. But it was the Ukraine for such a long time, and now we're bouncing back to it. Like you said, you apologizing to some of your contacts because we just kind of got lulled into sleep in a sense, which is wild. So this is big news, folks. We'll talk more about this on America Tonight. How about Afghanistan? I've been talking about Afghanistan a lot. Now there's major fallout over the election result. What do you make of that?
You may have talked about this yesterday, but just to recap very briefly, we had the preliminary results of the second round, the runoff election in the Afghanistan presidential vote. This happened, I think, 3 weeks ago in the middle of June. And the results that we saw yesterday were dramatically different than the preliminary results that we saw in April. But we've seen basically a 25 percentage point swing for this one candidate named Ashraf Ghani. He's not a stranger to this building. He's a former United Nations Development Advisor. He used to work for the World Bank on a lot of international development programs. He's a little bit more known around the world. But basically, he was trailing in that April vote by about 15%. And the results shown yesterday show him beating Abdullah, the former foreign minister, by 10% or 12%. There are, as you would imagine, some very vocal cries of fraud. Abdullah is saying this was a coup, that Hamid Karzai, who's of the same tribe as Mr. Ashraf Ghani, helped to rig the election in his favor, you know, trying to put one of his own guys into his shoes, basically, as he steps aside. So, again, the U.S. probably doesn't care quite as much which candidate wins. Both of these candidates have said they want to work with the U.S. to establish a long-term NATO troop presence in Afghanistan, which is something that the outgoing president, Hamid Karzai, was not in favor of. But the U.S. really wanted more than anything to have a smooth exit, to somehow say after 12 years of being there that the electoral system could at least function. And while there wasn't a ton of violence on election day and it looked like we might have been able to sort of sneak through without major problems, we're now hearing calls from Abdullah to create a parallel government. John Kerry today in Beijing said, if you do that, the U.S. is going to take away all of our international development aid, which is basically the lifeblood of the Afghan security services, of their infrastructure, of their schools. A big threat I don't think the U.S. will follow through on, but it does really give a sense of just how bad the situation has gotten there and the ability of elections all over the world, and particularly in this country, to really disrupt the peace that seemed to be sort of pervasive in the past few weeks.
We have just a couple of minutes left, Luke, but this is a big one. The UN also weighs in on the kids that are pouring over the U.S. border and what they're doing about it, what we're doing about it in the U.S., but what was the UN's take on it?
Right. The statistics, obviously, we all know from watching TV that 52,000 unaccompanied kids, mostly from Central America, Honduras, Guatemala, El Salvador, coming in since last October. UN Human Rights High Commissioner, sort of a lower-down staff member today, made a big appeal to the U.S. and Mexico to try to meet later this week and sort of renegotiate what we consider an illegal immigrant versus someone seeking political refugee status. As it currently stands, if a kid goes, one of these children goes in front of a judge, as is the rule for minors in the United States who come across the border, and they say, I'm basically fleeing from criminal violence, they're not eligible for asylum. And the UN really wants a change of terminology so that people fleeing extortion, gang violence, as is the case for these kids in these countries, they should be able to be considered refugees, which would, again, really change, perhaps, the way they're treated by American authorities.
Yeah, no kidding. And one last one, Ban Ki-moon making a huge announcement, and this had to do with same-sex marriage. I that kind of surprised me. I don't know why, just because of all the other things that were going on. What did he say?
Pretty straightforward. He says if you are a same-sex couple and you're legally allowed to wed in your home country, the United Nations will honor that around the world, and will provide the same marital benefits that are entitled to opposite-sex couples. A pretty big decision. Again, it could be because there are a lot of allegations of homophobia among senior UN officials, including the incoming president of the General Assembly, who's from Uganda. You probably heard from Ellen about their anti-gay laws there. So perhaps it's an attempt by the Secretary General to make the UN look a little bit more friendly to the same-sex community, but a meaningful change in policy, and it will affect probably a good portion of the 44,000 UN employees around the world. So I would say a step forward here at the Secretariat this week.
Yeah, interesting. Luke Vargas, Talk Radio News, thanks so much.
Sure thing. Take care.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you'd like to listen to GCN programs on the go, I have great news. GCN has created a Droid and iPhone application, and it's free. Just as easy as going to GCNlive.com, click on the banner, and download. Before you know it, you'll be listening to your favorite hard-hitting GCN shows, live or on demand, right on your Droid or iPhone, 24/7 and on the go. So download the Droid and iPhone app free by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Thanks again for listening to GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com.
The TalkStream Live app for iPhone, iPad, and Android is the fastest and easiest way to access live talk radio anytime, anywhere. Download the free TalkStream Live app right now and see for yourself. You'll enjoy instant access to the best in live talk radio. Find your favorite shows and discover some new ones. The TalkStream Live app is available in the App Store, the Google Play Store, or visit TalkStreamLive.com. That's TalkStreamLive.com.
Free from the shackles of corporate America, we're the place for independent thinkers. GCN.
Whoa! This is big! Not just big, it's the Freeze Dry Guys Giant Factory Authorized Sale. This month, save 30 to 45% off on number 10 cans of high-quality Mountain House freeze-dried foods from the Freeze Dry Guy. Factory fresh stock just arrived, so now is the time to stock up with the finest, best-tasting, longest-proven shelf-life foods in the industry at giant savings of 30 to 45% off. But hurry, supplies are limited to only the stock we have on hand. Call 866-404-3663. Free shipping to the lower 48 states. Click freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. That's freezedryguy.com. Hurry, the Giant Factory authorized Mountain House sale is going on now, only from the Freeze Dry Guy. The finest freeze-dried and dehydrated foods available anywhere for long-term storage.
If you need to say happy birthday, happy anniversary, thank you, or simply, I'm thinking of you, ProFlowers.com is the key. ProFlowers has stunning bouquets, like the best-selling 100 blooms for $19.99. Plus, ProFlowers will include a glass vase for free. Sending someone a wonderful surprise of beautiful flowers sent fresh from the field is easy. Choose the bouquet you like, pick the delivery date, and each order is 100% guaranteed. Plus, all bouquets from ProFlowers are guaranteed to last at least 7 full days. Beautiful, fragrant flowers, picked fresh and sent to your loved one for lasting enjoyment. To get this incredible savings and send someone 100 gorgeous blooms with a free vase for $19.99, go to ProFlowers.com. Click the blue microphone in the top right corner and enter code PLOW. That's ProFlowers.com. Click the mic and enter code PLOW.
Question. Could too many GMO foods and toxins be overloading your digestive and immune systems? Answer, yes. If you are searching for a powerful detox that's gentle enough to use every day, use Pro-EM1 from Terriganics. Pro-EM1 is a powerful liquid probiotic that uses good bacteria to suppress pathogens and gently eliminate toxins from your body. A healthy digestive system will cleanse and remove toxins, support weight loss, improve absorption of food nutrients, and aid in controlling yeast and other infections. Pro-EM1 is made with only non-GMO and certified organic ingredients, has no preservatives, and is dairy, soy, wheat, and gluten-free. Pro-EM1 is the key to your digestive health. Order Pro-EM1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganix.com, spelled TERRAGANIX.com, or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Also available through Amazon Prime. Pro-EM1 from Terraganix. Life's getting better.
Situation. Certainly seems that that's what's happening, although the White House is trying to downplay that the crisis is so out of control that, you know, it's like all of a sudden every crevice, every tunnel, every possible imaginable way to make it into the United States, every single one of those cracks is springing open. So I say fast track. You got to fast track process, but fast track, got to give the money, got to do it. I mean, it's our money. It's taxpayer money, but it'll get worse. So if we got to cough up $3 billion to deal with this, we got to do it. Because what else are we going to do? We need those 40 extra judges to wham, bam, 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 do the proceedings. Because if not, it'll be a much bigger disaster. Jan Brewer just couldn't help herself, the governor of Arizona, because unfairly at times, man, is she the person that they were throwing tomatoes at years ago, suing her, wasting money, suing Jan Brewer for one of the laws that was on the books in Arizona, which, by the way, was really not enforced. So she decided, I've got to criticize this president because he's an imperialist. He's an imperial president. And this is after a federal appeals court blocked the state's policy of denying driver's licenses to immigrants permitted to stay in the United States. This is yet another problem Arizona is having, not just Arizona, but they're really seeing it in their faces constantly with a series of accidents, problems, uninsured drivers, that whole, you know, thing. So this is the latest series of tweets, 140 characters, that's what she's gone to, blasting the press on his immigration policy, especially along the southern border, because she knows she's there, she saw it, she's seen the chaos. Here's what she said today. Jan Brewer at Governor Brewer at Barack Obama creates DACA by fiat and illegal aliens overrun USA. Arizona will continue to fight this imperial POTUS and demand secure borders. And then she said, I appreciate Secretary Johnson meeting with me in Nogales today and to see firsthand the manufactured crisis the White House has caused and encouraged. And, of course, Jay Johnson, the Secretary of Homeland Security, could he be more overwhelmed? Janet Napolitano knew a good opening when she saw one. Time to get out. Time to resign. And I can't blame Jan Brewer for being taking, you know, her thoughts to Twitter, because she has a lot of Twitter followers, and she's, this is her way to talk back, where people are paying attention in the Twittersphere. It couldn't be it's probably maybe the biggest form of communication that we have going on these days. And part of that is because the Department of Homeland Security was driving the illegals from Texas into Arizona and just leaving them at bus stations. I mean, just leaving them there. So what happened was, I mean, they were finding kids. They were trying to find them houses. They were trying to do whatever, because some of them were just wandering around. So that's when she ordered them, the state officials, to immediately transport federal supplies to these holding areas in Nogales, where the conditions were awful because of being overrun by way too many people, too many kids. And remember, July 8th, the Prez backed away from plans to take executive action to expedite the expedite the deportation process, but he still is asking for this money. It keeps growing too, by the way. It's over $3 billion, almost $4 billion, like 3.7, hedging his bet. And this is to pay for the lawyers, the judges I mentioned, the health services, the transportation. And, you know, there's part of me that just says, screw it. Deny the money. Just don't do it. Because this is just another stupid thing that we've gotten into that wasn't laid out correctly, that the money wasn't funneled to. But on the other hand, what I just mentioned before, it'll make it that much worse. You know, when I talk about immigration, and I've said this a couple times, but maybe you just tuned in for the first time, I'm not just being lemming and following things that I hear from other people, because I've been on that border. I've been in some of the worst places along that border, that Texas border, and even Juarez and the Zaragoza Bridge and the separation there. But beyond that bridge and people crossing the Rio Grande, I can't even tell you, when I was in television news, how many floaters, that's what we called them, floaters, you would hear it on the radio, and we would beat sometimes the Border Patrol agents to the scene, and that's what would happen. There'd be people who were trying to cross, sometimes, sadly, kids, and they'd drown. So you couldn't even recognize their features because they were so bloated from how long they had been in the water. Not a pretty sight at all, let me tell you. And also seeing it firsthand, watching the coyotes throw people on their back, pulling them across the river, seeing what that was like, and talking to the Border Patrol agents again and again and again. And in fact, we would have had two of them on the show, but they're not allowed to go on the air and talk about it for fear of losing their job. These are two long-time Border Patrol agents. So, you know, this is pretty, at this point, we already know the deal. It's out of control. It's chaotic. It just has to be handled. We can't, I've said this again and again, we can't go back in history. There's nothing worse than people whining and groaning about the past because it's over. We can't change what wasn't enforced. I mean, that was the big mistake. And the layout of this was the big mistake. And it just has to make you wonder, we have a lot of smart people in this country. Are they sitting around the table when they think of these ideas? Okay, this is the executive order we want because we didn't get the Dream Act that we were hoping for. This is what I promised when I was running. Okay, so we're gonna force this. And people are, although some people will embrace it because look at the population who are so upset over what our policies are. So we're going to take a gamble and we'll go for it because we think this is the right thing to do. This is what I think the right thing to do is. But now we've said it. We sing the platitudes. But geez, we didn't have a way to do this. We didn't even have a roadmap for this. So I can just imagine you're in Homeland Security and you're saying, what, where did you think all these people were going to be processed? What did you think was going to happen when there were these deep announcements in the papers all over Central America where it's nothing but poverty, misery in, for most cases, and kids that, innocent kids, that are getting sucked into gangs and dying? Why wouldn't their parents want them to go to the United States? Why wouldn't they want to push them across the border? And what about what's happening to the, some of those innocent kids who have no idea what to do, by the way, end up in some of these sex trafficking rings because they're innocent victims. And this is why we have to pony up the money, because we have to have the judges. We got to process them. We got to get it moving. And there's no way to just say, okay, adios, boom. Not when you're talking about, I'm talking about just the kids, when you're talking about 6, 7, and 8-year-olds for real, not the teenagers who are part of the gangs, the honest-to-goodness young kids that parents pushed out and hoped that they would get across and something good would happen for them. So we've seen a couple of different things happen. The president caves. He's going to meet the governor of Texas to talk about the immigration crisis, not on the tarmac, but they're going to have what they call a substantial meeting to talk about it. And he wants help because, geez, they thought that out. When they got the note, they probably sat there, brainstormed a little while in the Oval Office and said, well, you know, Rick Perry, he's chopping us down on the tube. So why do we want to have any kind of a meeting with the Republican governor from Texas who at one time wanted to secede and who is truly a part of the Tea Party and is they're bashing us at every chance? Well, of course, tit for tat. I'm going to say you got to help us with the Republicans. We need the money. You want Texas to be safer. You want to process these illegals. Then we have you over a barrel, don't we? So you got to help us and you got to lean on some of your Republican friends and get them to say yes, yes, yes for this money. It's just a nasty, nasty piece of business. It really is. No strategy whatsoever. No strategy, which is the biggest blunder I think that very few people are talking about in this whole raw deal along our southern border. Hey, coming up on America Tonight, speaking of the Republicans, when it's time to party in 2016 and raise the roof, where, oh, where are they going to do it? And who will be the Republican choice to run for president? If it happened tomorrow, boy, I'd say flip a coin. I don't know. Some people are big fans of Rand Paul and think he would be the right guy and put somebody else special on the undercard. But I'm not so sure. There's so much time in between. Often somebody comes out of left field. Who will be that person on the stage and where will it be? We're talking about it next here on America Tonight. We'll be right back.
this alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right, General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for $35,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet for $35,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL. Lock in your price now. Call 866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.
Moms of America, stand up and stop taking abuse from your kids.
I pledge never to let my kid disrespect me ever again.
I pledge to stop letting my daughter walk all over me.
I pledge to stop living in fear of my son's anger.
I pledge never to feel like a bad parent ever again. Because I'm not.
I pledge to stop letting my child's behavior control my home.
I pledge to be a mom with kids who listen. A total transformation mom.
I'm Janet Lehman, co-creator of the Total Transformation Program. We created the Total Transformation to help parents with difficult child behavior. Now, I'm giving it away free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. We'll let you keep it for free.
Call 1-800-256-7795. That's 1-800-256-7795. Call now. Call 1-800-256-7795. That's 1-800-256-7795.
Got a simple question for you. Can you sell? Yes? Okay. Can you sell the intangible? If yes, and you'd like to work 9 to 5, Monday through Friday, with no overtime, no weekends, if you're passionate about not closing sales, but about opening relationships, if you truly have a desire to serve global clients who need your advertising expertise, and you're local to the Twin Cities and Burnsville, are hardworking, self-driven, with experience in sales, marketing, or advertising, are personable and a whiz on the phone, GCN wants to talk with you right now. GCN, the Genesis Communications Network, is one of the largest independent talk radio networks in the world, and we're hiring right now. We offer benefits and an excellent commission structure. Experience preferred, but we'll train the right person. Is that you? Submit your resume today to advertise at gcnlive.com. Again, that's advertise at gcnlive.com. Come work with the Genesis Communications Network, an equal opportunity employer.
Her hair is hollow gold, her lips sweet surprise. Her hands are never cold. She's got Betty Davis eyes. She'll turn the music on you.
Elephants in Dallas, Texas. Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, America Tonight. Rents Priebus, the man behind the strategy for the Republican Party, declared that Cleveland was a business decision. That's where the 2016 convention will take place. And, you know, what ended up happening is I found out information I hadn't previously known. In Dallas, the American Airlines Center, which is where you would hold the actual event, was already booked. So they couldn't have done it there, and that blows that out of the water. And that was their best, really, facility to do it in. Plus, they had hotel rooms that were booked during that time, too. So no room at the inn, no big show place in the end to put it on. And, of course, the dates really mattered here. They were looking at two dates, either June 28th or July 18th, and they're supposed to have that decision very, very soon, but they've chosen the mistake by the lake, Cleveland. That used to be the old joke. Actually, I like Cleveland. I went to school in Ohio, and there's some cool places in Cleveland. So the people in Ohio have to be psyched about it. If they end up on the positive side, because it's always that balance about how much money do you have to pump into luring all of the people who would come to a convention and offer all these wonderful things about your city, and then make the money back with hotels and everything else that people would spend. Tampa kind of struggled with that a little bit. They did a good job putting it on, but then trying to make it back. But Tampa's a smaller city. So Priebus said that while the 2012 convention was held in August, that they pushed it earlier because it's better for the presidential candidate to raise funds. It's better for the Republicans than to drag out the drama, too, I think. You know, if you have an August or September convention, you're sitting there with no way to raise money. So he's right about that. That's the one smart thing I would say in this move. So end of June, mid-July is the right way to do it. And it's too detrimental with the candidates, the battle for the nomination, the beauty pageant show the Republicans put on last time. It became like Gawker Vision because everybody wanted to watch and see and how many of those debates they had. And you could say on one hand it was good because you could hear what all the candidates had to say. But on the other hand, it hurt the people that ended up running in the long run, I think. So this is a very smart, smart move. Let's see what happens after this. And then it's a question of who is the candidate gonna be? I talked to somebody close to Chris Christie last week, and they told me that, you know, honestly, the governor still has his sights set on running, on trying to be there to make it the distance and turn everything around with the crazy bridge nonsense and the weight thing and all of that, and be there in the end. Wonder if he would accept the VP nod, and would people embrace him in that role? Because I think for the Republicans, as much as you can say, well, who cares who the VP is, and what is the VP position anyway? You're the guy who's there just in case. You're the just in case person or woman. You're the just in case. But I would say, since it's so wide open in 2016, and for the Democrats too, that you really want somebody interesting, somebody that at least adds something to the, I'll call it the card, like they do in boxing. You want to make it somebody who offers something different from the presidential candidate, where they may agree on certain issues, but yet there's something appealing about the VP, or the VP is somebody just downright likable and is not going to damage in any way the ticket. And if Hillary Clinton for sure is going to be the Democratic nominee, would it be that you have a woman as the VP? You know, you have somebody, a woman on the undercard, since she's running for president, barring something we can't see into the future happening that would change her mind on that. I really feel like, as much as she's asked the question and kind of dances around it and talks about what an important thing it is, I mean, there is no question she wants to do this gig. She wants to run. She wants to be paid back for waiting behind Barack Obama. So it's important that the Republicans get their act really together and have some meaty discussions and figure it out and don't overplay the hand with too many debates, too much ridiculous coverage. You know, start to get to it, drill it down, and that's a smart move, the first smart move in having the convention earlier instead of waiting. Because Hillary Clinton has a pot of gold. If it's Hillary Clinton, she is not worried about, the Clintons are not worried about raising money. The Democrats are not worried about raising money. But who is the Republican Party going to put up? Who are they going to throw out there that's going to be able to pull in the bucks, satisfy a very diverse group of people, including the delegates who last time around weren't very happy at some of the things that happened? It gets more and more intriguing. And here I am talking about this, and you think, you know, 2016. But we're halfway through this year. We are staring down the barrel of 2015. And that's when the full court press really happens. That's when maybe someone we're not expecting comes out, gets the likability factor going off the charts, really moves the needle, and people start talking about that person, and it could be someone you're not expecting. Could be someone that's not named Bush. Could be someone who's not any of the Tea Party people that we've mentioned before that are making names for themselves in the Senate. It's going to be interesting to watch how it goes as we get closer into, deeper into 2015 when we turn the page on the calendar in January where all of this sits. Definitely. As we are at the tail end of this hour, I mentioned this story, and this is a different turn in a different direction, but I felt so strongly about it. And I know we have a lot of people listening to us in Illinois and a lot of people who used to live in Chicago. And now they're saying after the holiday weekend, I mean, and what a terrible weekend it was for violence, the amount of people that were killed, 17. So just gunfire all over the place. Nasty, 53 people shot. The Cook County Medical Examiner overwhelmed. And this is shootings on Friday through Sunday. Friday through Sunday, 17 dead. I mean, talk about over the top. Very over the top. Now, the superintendent, the Chicago police superintendent, Gary McCarthy, a guy who spent a lot of time policing in Newark and in New York, said that the violence is unacceptable, but blamed a big part of it on what he called the proliferation of firearms. He said this is about guns, that we have to reduce violence by seizing guns, and that so far we've gotten over 3,300, and that the deaths were down. Except for what a terrible window this recently has been. So he's saying we have proof for all the people who think it's not the guns, that we have to get those guns away. And we can tell you from the people who've called the show, they say how scary it is in Illinois and in Chicago. They want to have a gun to protect themselves, especially when we're talking about in their home. To be able to have that right, not to have all of the things that are the little tiny cracks that are out there, to have them all taken away and be back in that situation. Any thoughts on the show? You know what to do. You can send them to me, americatonight.net. Click on contact and bada bing. My ode to James Gandolfini. You are in just like that.
The human body is extraordinary. Despite all the stresses we inflict upon it, it still works hard to stay in balance. Thousands upon thousands of people rely upon Heart and Body Extract to help their body stay balanced. This excellent 100% natural herbal formula helps maintain healthy blood pressure levels, cleans arteries, promotes good circulation, balances cholesterol, and more. HB Extract, paired with healthy lifestyle choices like good nutrition and exercise, can give you a life free of pain, sickness, and fear. Recapture your youthful vitality and experience your body healing itself with the aid of HB Extract. It's extremely effective and it starts working in just days. Visit HBExtract.com to learn more and to read scores of testimonials from satisfied customers. And we've never increased our price in over 10 years. That makes Heart and Body Extract as great a value now as it was the first day we sold it. A healthy heart is a happy heart. Call 866-295-5305 or go to HBExtract.com.